Today, we'll be wrapping up our mini-series, Names of God. Throughout these months, we've been exploring the various names of God, and while we may not have gone through all the names that appear in the Bible, the purpose has been to really unveil the characters of God through his names. And so this morning, my hope and prayer is that as we conclude this series, as we journey through these months learning and studying these different names of God, is that we wouldn't just learn about God intellectually, but that we would really begin to take steps of obedience, really placing our hope and trust in him so that we can tangibly experience him, his characters in our life, how he's Jehovah, the Lord, existing one, the one who wants to have an intimate relationship with us. Oh, he is our banner, shepherd, and the Most High, no matter what we go through, no matter what circumstance we walk through. So with that in mind, we're going to get into the last name of God that we're looking in this series, and that name comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48, 35, which we're going to read together now. And so as an act of worship, I'm going to ask all of us to stand, if you're able, to read God's perfect and holy word for us this morning. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. The distance all around will be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that time on will be, "The Lord is there." Amen. This is God's word. Please take your seats. Let's pray one more time. Father, we ask that this time you would open our hearts, our minds, to receive your word. And I pray that you would open my mouth to speak your word only, your truth. We pray that you would convict us where it hurts the most, but also cover us and shower us with words of your grace and your encouragement and the gospel of your Son. We thank you that you're a God who speaks to us even now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, most of you here know my family, right? I have a wife and a two-year-old son. And for those of you who have not yet met them, here's a photo of my family. It's going to come on the screen. There we go. That's my wife, Jessica. There's our two-year-old son, Abe. We recently celebrated his second birthday ever, just 2 months ago. And this is going to surprise many of you, well, I guess most of you, but my wife is actually pregnant with our second child. I know, I kind of completely caught you off guard, didn't I? But we're very excited about that. And what's going to surprise you even more is that we're having a girl. Thank you. Yes. We found out that we're having a daughter, which we're super excited about. We kind of secretly wanted a daughter, but we totally expected that we're going to have a boy just because we already have a boy. It's funny because a lot of people had told us that if your first child is a boy, then it's likely the second will be a boy as well. But right now, I am trying to figure out how to be a dad to a daughter. And so if you have any advice, I would love to hear it. It feels like we're new parents all over again. But as a parent, and some of you parents, I think one of the things that's challenging in the beginning is to figure out what you're going to name your kids, right? Because you want them to like it in the future. You want it to be unique enough, not like too unique or weird unique, not super common. And so for Jessica and I, we're in this process again right now. As we are pregnant with our second child, we're thinking of the names. And what we do is we have the long list of names, right? We kind of get really into the meanings of the names, right? So we would look at the list and, or even look at some of the names that we get to see for the first time and go, what does that name mean, right? What does that name mean? And I'm sure if you're a parent, like, you've gone through that time before. But seriously, all of us, when it comes to names, names aren't just random, but they come with meanings and reasons. What I'm trying to emphasize is that names do matter because they hold great value. And even more so with the names of God. And so this is what we've been doing, looking at different names of God to know his characters, to draw closer to profound mysteries that define our relationship with God. And this is the last name of God that we're going to explore today. And the name that we're going to focus on is Jehovah Shammah from the Old Testament. Now, if you're newer to church, the Bible split up into two parts. So we have the Old Testament and New Testament. And in the Old Testament, what we will learn about is the creation of the world, the creation of man. We see the sin of man, the fall of man, and God's promise that one day he will defeat the power of sin. Then we have the New Testament where we see, you know, Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and God's promise that he is going to defeat sin. And then we see beginnings of this movement called the church as we are living that story out, even to this day. And so in the Old Testament, this is the last name of God revealed to us. And I thought this was very fitting since it's like the last name in our series. But here is what it means, Jehovah Shammah. It means the Lord is there. Jehovah, we talk throughout the series, how it's Jehovah, the Lord, existing one. And then we have Shammah in Hebrew, there. And so if we combine those two words, it becomes the Lord is there. And we find this name of God in the book of Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel, he was a prophet of Israel. And so he would hear from God speak to him, and he would speak to the nation of Israel on behalf of God based on what he spoke to him. And if you know, the nation of Israel was God's chosen people to solve this problem of sin and bring about the Messiah one day. But currently here in our text, as Ezekiel is prophesying to this nation, they're in captivity in Babylon. And God had allowed Babylon to take the Israelites captive because of their disobedience, because of their sin, so that they can eventually turn back to God and to trust in him. So if you study and read through the book of Ezekiel, it's really broken up into two major parts. There's Ezekiel chapter 1 through 32. That's the first part. And if there was one way to sum that up, that part one of book of Ezekiel, it would be that God is not there. God is not there. Ezekiel is talking about their disobedience, and he's even providing a narrative in chapters 8 through 11 of God's presence leaving the nation of Israel. And it's really sad because this is the thing that separated the Israelites from all the other nations. It was God's promise. In the past, they would carry around God's presence in the Ark of the Covenant from place to place where God's presence would dwell. And eventually, as they became more established as a nation, they had the city, Jerusalem, where they would build this magnificent temple. And in the temple, there was this place called the Holy of Holies, where God's presence would dwell. But now, Ezekiel is providing a detailed description of God's presence leaving. And this is what he says in chapter 11. He says, "Then the cherubim, which were angelic creatures with the wheels beside them, spread their wings, and the glory of God of Israel was above them. The glory of the Lord went up from within the city and then stopped above the mountains east of it." Here, he's describing God's presence leaving the Israelites. And I'm sure you can imagine the feelings that these Israelites were experiencing too. I mean, what I mean by that is, if you think about it, they had such hope, such promise of the future that God promised them that his presence was going to be with them, blessing them, leading them. And what hope they had for the future has now become a distant memory as they are currently in captivity in Babylon. And maybe you can relate to that feeling that you're going through by saying, okay, there's been a moment or a time in my life where I felt like God is not there. He's definitely not there. Or maybe you came here this morning, you feel like you're in a season of life where you feel like God isn't there, that God isn't interested in your life, in you, that he doesn't care about you. You feel God is distant. And it could be for a variety of reasons for you. Maybe like the Israelites, you've maybe lived in disobedience. You've done some things in your past. You feel like because of the things that you've done, you go, how in the world can God love me or be present in my life? Or maybe you might say, I've been faithful to God all throughout my life. There's moment where there's something tragic that has happened in my life. Maybe it was a loss of a loved one unexpectedly. Maybe it was losing your job. Maybe it was your marriage falling apart. Maybe you have a child that has an illness and you feel like if God was there, then this wouldn't happen. How could God be here if I'm experiencing this? And I'm sure you can relate to what these Israelites are feeling at this moment as they are in captivity in Babylon. What hope and promise that they have for the future is now a distant memory. And God is not there. And so after 70 years of captivity, Ezekiel is prophesying to this nation, not just telling them their disobedience and their sin, but is reminding them that God is there, that he hasn't forgotten about them. And so the second part of the book of Ezekiel, chapters 33 to chapters 48, is Ezekiel reminding them that God hasn't forgotten about them, that he is there. And he's talking and describing this new city, this new Jerusalem that God will establish, that will be named Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Now, this future city, this is like the end of the world, that God will one day establish this new Jerusalem where he will be there. And so this is the last thing that Ezekiel says. He says, after describing the city, he says, the distance around the city will be 18,000 cubits, which is about 8 kilometers. And from that day, the name of the city will be the Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. And this is it. That's the end of the book of Ezekiel, reminding God's people that he hasn't forgotten about them, that he is there. And he's there. And then fast forward years and years and years, there's no new names of God in the Bible, like nothing. Nothing until the birth of Jesus. And one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, which is God with us. So we have Ezekiel prophesying to the nation of Israel that God is there, and then we see Jesus kind of fulfilling that part of promise that God is with us. And Jesus, what he does is he makes a promise to his followers. He says, I promise that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you always. And so after Jesus resurrects from the grave and ascends back to heaven, before that, what Jesus does is makes a promise that he will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit won't just be God with us or God among us, but it will be God in us. And so when we follow Jesus and when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. So no matter where we go or what we go through, we have God in us. Amen? And this is what Paul writes about the Holy Spirit as an early church leader. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. He says, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, when we make a large purchase, we are oftentimes asked to or required to pay a deposit, which is partial payment guaranteeing that the full amount is coming at a later date. And this is what Paul describes as the Holy Spirit, that God has given us the Holy Spirit today, that he is there with us, guaranteeing us what is to come in this future city, in this heaven, that God's presence will be there. God is there, but it's also there here inside of us. And this idea of Jehovah Shammah, this concept that God is there, it's not just something that we see in the book of Ezekiel. Although this is the only time we see this name Jehovah Shammah in the Bible. It's not something we see with, you know, this idea of Emmanuel, God with us, but this concept of God being there is something that we see all throughout the stories of the Bible. In fact, we see it in the very beginning of Scripture. So if we recall, we see it in Genesis that God was there for Adam and Eve. He was walking with them in the garden. He was there. We see through the life of Abraham and Sarah, God was there for them, giving them a son, Isaac. We also see that God was there for Joseph. And if you know the story of Joseph, Joseph was mistreated by his brothers and wrongly accused of a crime that he did not commit, and he was thrown into the prison. And there, God didn't forget about him. God was there with Joseph, even in prison. We see that God was there with Moses, that God was there for Moses as an infant, protecting him from this evil Pharaoh. And God was there even with Moses as an adult, as he was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And in fact, Moses experienced God's presence in a really special way. He would meet with God in this place called the Tent of Meetings. And in the Bible, it tells us that God would speak to Moses as one speaks to a friend. And in one of these interactions where Moses is in this Tent of Meeting with God in his presence, he says a very bold statement to God. This is what Moses says. He says, talking to God, he says, If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Now, the reason why that's a really bold statement by Moses is that it's because of where Moses and the Israelites were at that point. They had just gotten out of Egypt, but now they are wandering around in the wilderness. And God had made a promise saying that he will send them to this land that's going to be flowing with honey and milk, how it's going to be amazing. But at the time, they are wandering around in the wilderness. And Moses in that moment says, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, I'd rather stay here in the wilderness than go into the promised land that you promised to us. In other words, he's saying, God, your presence is way more important than your promise. A lot of times I'll mix this up even in my life where I find myself just wanting promises of God, just wanting the things that God can give me or do for me rather than God himself. I think this is such a powerful moment where Moses says, God, I know your presence gives me everything that I need, desire, want, but God, I just rather stay here where I'm in the wilderness, where the circumstance isn't great, than to go to the promised land if your presence is going to be here. And then we see that God was with David too. David, when he faced giant Goliath, God was with him in battle. God was with David as he lived in the caves, fleeing from this evil, corrupted king, Saul. And David writes about these moments in his life where he's in these dark moments of his life. In Psalm 23, he says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not fear. Why? Because God, you are with me, even in those dark valley moments. David, he's confessing that I don't have to fear because you are with me, being Jehovah Shammah. Now, we even see this in the New Testament. We see that God was there for Stephen as he was being stoned to death for his faith in Jesus. And what's interesting about the story is that he says that the heavens opened up and Stephen could see that God was there. And he was Jehovah Shammah in that moment. But God being there for Stephen did not save him from being stoned to death. But what it did is it gave him the strength, this confidence to remain faithful in that moment as he was being stoned to death. And I think that's so important for us to understand, because God being there for us doesn't always mean that our circumstance will change. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But what it does mean is that God will always be there as we go through whatever circumstance life may throw at us, as long as we seek his presence. And so James, he writes about this idea of God being there and God being close. He says that if we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. He's a God that wants to be close, and he's a God that is there. He's Jehovah Shammah. Now, why is this so important? Why does this matter, this name Jehovah Shammah? Why? Why do we see this concept of God being there all throughout Scripture? It's so important because no matter what we're going through, we can be confident. We can be confident that God is there with us, that is there. Several years ago, my brother and I, we were up one night looking for a movie to watch. And so we were, you know, looking through the list, and we came across this movie that looked really good, that looked really interesting. It had some good actors and all that. But then the problem was, it was a scary movie. And I don't really like scary movies. And it was one of those intense thrillers that you definitely don't watch alone, like in the night. Because I just know, like, you just know you start to freak out. And so we're there kind of thinking whether or not to watch this movie. But there was something about my brother being with me in that moment that gave me confidence to hit play. Right? Maybe I was trying to act tough in front of my brother as a big brother or something. Maybe it was that. No, but what it really did is it almost eliminated a lot of that fear. It eliminated a lot of fear. I mean, if you're watching this movie alone, you fear that for sure. But if you're with someone, it's like, hey man, we're in this together. Let's go, let's just stay up. We're gonna be there for each other. Come on, whatever it is, bring it on, right? As a kid, I also remember when I would ever need to go to the basement of my parents' house, this deep, dark, creepy basement where, you know, the killers lived in my imagination, or whatever the spiders were at any time, I had to go there alone. I would convince my brother or sister to come with me because there was something about them being with me in that moment that took away the fear of going to the basement. I think this is what Jehovah Shammah is. It means that God is there walking through the dark, scary moments in our life. The moments that bring fear and anxiety and worry, that we can be confident that God is there with us. And what it does is it eliminates a lot of that fear, a lot of that anxiety, because we know that we have God walking through it with us. And what I want you to know, church, is that you're not alone. You're not alone. There's a study that shows after COVID, 1 in 5 Canadians feel alone. And I just know in this room, and for those of you who are watching through Zoom, there must be some of us saying, I feel like I am all alone. But we can remember Jehovah Shammah, that God is there, that we're not alone. Whatever you're facing in life right now, you're not facing it alone. Now, one of the things that the Israelites would do to remember Jehovah Shammah, to remember that God is there, is that they would sing songs to remind themselves all that God has done and that he is there for them. Very similar to what the church even does to this day. I mean, we even did it this morning together. We sang songs together to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, God's love for us, God's character, so that we wouldn't forget. And we can find even some of these songs that the Israelites would sing in the book of Psalms. Now, if you read through the book of Psalms, we read it like sentences in a book. But those were oftentimes lyrics in a song. Did you know that? So what I want us to do is look at one of the Psalms, Psalm 46, together, where we can see these beautiful, powerful lyrics describing what God's presence meant for the Israelites. All right? So keep this in mind that, you know, these songs and the authors, they didn't write these lyrics based on what they read about God in a textbook or something, right? But they wrote these lyrics and they sang these songs based on what they experienced God do for them. This is all based on what they experienced God do for them. So let's look at Psalm 46. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Now, these are incredibly powerful lyrics that express the importance and the power of God's presence. And we see these songs, we see it here in the song that God's presence gave the Israelites this power, right? We see that God was their refuge and that he was their strength. We see that God was their help in the time of their need, that God was their peace in the midst of their chaos, that God gave them protection. It says, even when the earth gives way, I will not fear, because God's presence gave them confidence to face any trial. And we just see so many things that the presence of God gave the nation of Israel. And so this is one of the main points that I want to make this morning, and that is God's presence gives us everything we need. God's presence gives us everything we need. We can find everything that we need in Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is there in his presence. And the question is, what do you need? What do you need? What is it that you need? Do you need help? You can find help in God's presence. Do you feel alone? You need a friend? You can find a friend in God, or even God can be your friend. Do you need strength? Do you need encouragement? Do you need power? Do you need healing? Do you need joy? Do you need peace? You can find everything in God's presence. And maybe for some of you, you might be like, well, I don't even know what it is that I need. I know that I need something, but I don't know what it is. But that's you today. Here's a beautiful thing. God knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you need. We can find all that we need and all that we could ever desire in Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there in his presence. I just love so much about the fact that, you know, the psalm that we just read, Psalm 46, how it's like all of it. This was all written about God being their refuge, their strength, their peace, their protection, based on what they experienced. So the final question that I want to ask you as we conclude is, where has God been there for you? Where have you seen Jehovah Shammah in your life? Where have you experienced God's presence, God being there? I think a lot of times we forget to look back on our life, and we just let the problems and the things that we're facing overwhelm us. But as we look back, and as we remember all the ways that God has been there for us, maybe how God was there for us in the moments where we felt like he left, the moments where we felt like he was not interested in us or didn't care about us, we can see God's hand at work as we look back. Maybe we can see how God was there for even in our disobedience, even through our worst mistakes, even through our unfaithfulness to him. We could see how God was faithful to us, that he was Jehovah Shammah, the God that was there. So brothers and sisters, if he was there for you then, I want you to remember that he will be there for you now, no matter what you're going through. We have Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is there, and we find everything that we could ever find in his presence. Let's pray. God, we thank you that no matter what we are going through in life, you are there with us, being Jehovah Shammah. So we pray, God, that you would just remind us of your presence every day to walk with you in every moment in our life, that we would walk into the promise that we would desire you more than just the things that we could get from you, that God, we would learn that everything that we could ever need, want, or desire is found in you. There's a lot of us that are going through difficult moments. God, I just pray that whatever it is that they need, God, your presence would give it to them, that they would begin to experience you, your presence, in a powerful way in everyday life, as we take steps of obedience, as we place our trust in you, and as we seek your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.